Post the other day on Facebook, and it was two little boys, and they had superimposed President Obama's face on one of the little boys' face there, and the other little boy was leaning over to him. I think it said something along the lines of this: you do realize that God wins. God wins. They think they're getting away with something.
Right.
They're getting away with anything.
So. That's right.
You can go, this is it. We'll go ahead and get into the scriptures tonight. And it's sometimes we got a little bit of ringing, so if you want to turn this down just a little bit, Ben, it doesn't quite need to be as loud as it is. Because I'll get going here in just a little bit, and then everything will be fine. So we'll stand to ministering on Wednesday night. You know, sometimes I don't. I'm not the kind of person where I can write my notes up several days in advance, or what, you know, and my notes really is just a kind of a skeleton, just a guideline is all it is. And I just let the Lord, you know, I try to leave it in there where I have to rely on His inspiration, because if I put too much there, then I get too, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I want His inspiration. I want His presence to come and anoint us. And so, you know, being that I can't do it 2-3 days in advance, and being that I work on Wednesdays, sometimes I just have to hand write, so I've got handwritten notes, and if anybody's ever seen my handwriting, sometimes I can't even read my own. But anyway, so I'm really reaching out tonight, you know, for the Lord to kind of keep me on track is what I need to be. But I am going to be sharing with you what He put on my heart, and so we want to just do that. Thank Him for this opportunity. I am pleased to be in the house of the Lord and be with you tonight. So anyway. Matthew chapter 22, we'll begin reading at verse 35, read through verse 40. These are the words of eternal life. This is what's going to help us get there. Amen. And if we're children of God, predestinated, there's something inside us that is I'll say it this way, a mirror image of the scriptures that we can identify with. We'll know it to be true. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now this was a guy who was very, very well trained in the law of Moses. Okay? So then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. and say, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Think about that. Everybody that tries to keep Saturday Sabbath and do this and that and all the different rituals and all that. But there it is. On those two commandments, the entire law and prophets hang right there on those two things. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. And Lord, we just ask that you would take these words, Lord, that we've read. And Lord, that you would just open up our hearts tonight to see greater depths and higher heights and wonderful things, Lord, that you have in your scriptures for us. We realize we live in such a tremendous time, and Lord, we believe that if there was ever an hour that your church should really have their act together as a worldly term would put it, it would be now. And we ask, God, that tonight that you would help each one of us. We know, God, that you, through your great Holy Spirit, Lord, you are familiar with each one of us more than anyone else. And Lord, we know that you can meet us on our level and you can speak to us and you can woo us, you can rebuke us, you can encourage us. Lord, we give you the right to do anything that you desire to do tonight. Because we know, Lord, that your desire is to make us a better people and make us more like you. Your desire is to put life within us, Lord, that we would live and not die. Lord, that's what your whole purpose of coming here to this earth was all about, was that you would save that which is lost. Lord, we believe tonight that we are that people. We confess tonight we are among the redeemed. And Lord, we believe you to be our shepherd. We believe you to be the one to provide all things for us. You are the author of life and the giver of every good gift. And we ask tonight, Lord, that you would come down and operate the gift of God that you've placed in me, that you would give us each spirits and ears to hear, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about love, and there's a whole lot of scriptures I may refer to in just a little bit. But it was so many in such a way that I didn't want our sister to have to go through and pull them all up and everything. But I'm basically going to be referring to them. And if you've read your Bible, you'll know the scriptures I'm referring to as I tell you where they are, and kind of telling you what they mean. But it's obvious to us that the Lord loved us first. Right? We sing that song, I love him because he first loved me. And it's true, he loved us long before we ever had even, you know, the scripture said, well, while we were yet sinners, right? He came and died for us. So he loved us. And I want to tell you, proclaim to you tonight, that his love has no limits. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaking of charity, it calls it charity, which is love in action, The scriptures tell us in there that it never fails. Amen? Mm-hmm. Charity will never fail. Charity is not selfish. It doesn't try to build itself up. It doesn't try to do anything great for self, but it's always got the other person who its subject is.
That's right.
In its view, and that's the promotion of that is what charity is all about. And so it's not trying to be puffed up and say, look at me. It's always concerned about the one whom it loves.
That's right.
But the scripture said it never fails. Where prophecies will cease and or tongues will cease and prophecies will fail and all those things like that. But charity will never fail, right? It doesn't even seek its own, says the scripture, see? And so we know that God's love, and there's human love, right? Filial love, that's the kind of love that we've been having for one another. But there's God's kind of love, which is a much greater love. And that's the love we're talking about, for the most part, is a love that never fails. Now, we know as human beings, you know, God didn't make us to where, you know, that we have no emotions. He didn't make us like robots. He didn't make us to where when we get up in the morning and we say to our wife, honey, I love you. See you tonight. It didn't work that way. See, God gave us something called emotions, right? And emotions is something that moves in us, and it brings feeling out. It may, and you know what happens? And when there's feeling, when that's expressed, it really makes a whole lot of difference on how it's received on the other end. Because if I did my wife that way every morning, you know, come down and, you know, it wouldn't be with just a few days. She would say, listen, you're going to have to change or something different, you know. But you understand what I'm saying. God gave us something where we can express things. I've always thought it really interesting in this, that if you ever notice that when you have a couple of emotions that run deep, one of us is pain and sorrow, and the other one is joy and laughter. Okay, those two. You ever notice that when someone has a sweeping moment of laughter, of joy, I mean, they can't hold it back?
Right.
All of a sudden, there's this involuntary action where they just rear back and just laugh, belly laugh out loud, and everybody in the place knows that they're happy about something.
Yeah.
Right? God put that in us for a reason. And when I see that, I think that God wants us to share our joy.
Sure.
And he said, you know what? I know how people are. They're probably going to try to hide it. So I'm going to put an involuntary action in them, and I'm going to make them laugh out loud so that others can see that. And I'll tell you, I've watched my son do it, and I'm the same way. I can watch somebody laughing, and I get to laughing just watching them. I like it. Right? But you know, the pain and sorrow is the same way. When someone's hurting and someone's crying, it does you the same way. And I'm saying this because God wants what's inside us that means something. He wants it out on the outside, and He wants it affecting others. That makes sense? So, love is that way. Love is an emotion that it sweeps over us. We call it emotion, but with God, I think it's something greater than that. But it sweeps over us, and it takes what we care about, and it makes us put it out on the outside. Because if you really love someone or you really love something, you're going to show it. You're not going to be able to hold it back, right? And so, love really has no limits. You know, the scripture said, love covers a multitude of sins. Well, God's love did that. He came down and He covered a multitude of sins. What about your brothers and sisters who have done you wrong?
Right.
Will love cover a multitude of sins? Love will never hold someone in contempt. No, it will never hold someone there because of their mistakes and hold it against them for days and weeks or not even hours. It won't do it. We all have times when we get aggravated about something, and that's, you know, but a person whose experience is right, that'll pass pretty quick. You know, and so when we have true love working in our hearts, I believe that it knows no limits either. You know, a man can love his wife so much, and it's happened many times, that he'd die for her. A man can love his children so much that he'd die for them. Absolutely. A man could love his wife and children so much that he could be in severe pain in his back and get up and go to work anyway. What do you think motivates someone to do that? You know, we as people, when we hurt, we genuinely try to get away from the hurt. Right? But you take someone that's bound up in love towards someone, and they'll do things that just defies understanding. And that's what God did. It defies understanding how that He would come down and pay the price for us when we were as wretched as we were and weren't even interested in Him. But yet the Scripture said He did that. But while we were sinners, He did that. And so He loves us. He loved us first. And His love knows no end. But how many knows that love is corrective? So love is the thing. You know, these people out here, I think, might have been my aunt now that we're talking about, Aunt Mary, we're talking about this. But you know, today they've got this mindset that if you do not agree with their lifestyle, you hate them.
Yeah.
They think you hate because you're telling them they're doing something that's wrong, it's going to cost them. When in the truth of the matter is you love them more than the other people who don't tell them.
That's right.
Because you've got enough of care down in your heart to tell them something that you know is probably going to come out and going to cause you a lot of trouble and grief. But yet you know you have to tell it because it's truth anyway. So really, in reality, Satan's a master at turning something around and making it look like it's the opposite of what he is.
Yeah.
What it is. And so that's one example of what he does. But love is corrective. And so when God loves us and He's paid the ultimate price, but He also loves us enough sometimes to tell us no. He loves us enough to tell us that we don't know what we're talking about, and I'm not going to let you have what you're wanting because you don't understand. And I can tell you that he's never done me wrong. There's times that I might not understand what's going on, but looking back on it, I can tell you he's never done anything except what was good for me.
Yeah.
What was good for me. Everything he's ever done and allowed to come to me had a purpose in my life. And I believe that, and I believe it's that way for you. Whatever it is,
yeah,
it's for a purpose. God does not go backwards. He doesn't lose his thoughts. He doesn't lose his program.
Yeah.
He always moves forward. He doesn't slip back one millimeter. He always goes forward, progressing in your life. And so, you know, Brother Branham said that where'd you leave him? When you got backslid, where'd you leave Christ? Because that's exactly where you're going to find him. You're not going to see him going way back over. Well, I guess I'll go start over. But if he's come this far with you and then you left him, he'll stand right there.
Yeah.
And you come right back there.
Amen.
And you go forward with it, see? And so, God's love is that way. It's corrective to us. And he's the Father of lights, and we are his children, so I know that when we take upon his nature, but some of those qualifications, things like that, the characteristics will be in us. Every successful relationship works on, several laws, but there's a law of giving and a law of receiving. And I've said this before, there's no such thing as giving and taking. It's give and take. It's give and take. No, it's not give and take. You don't take nothing, you receive it.
That's right.
Meaning that it has to be given to you. If it's not given to you freely from that other person and you take it, then you're a thief.
Sure.
See, and I've said it. If my wife doesn't truly love me from her own heart, and I try to demand that love anyway, I'm a thief. See? But if she truly from her heart loves me, not because she's afraid of me or something like that, but if she truly loves me from her heart, then I've got her. She's mine. But if it's for some other motive or something like that, then I'm a thief, and it's not a real thing. So every good relationship was going to work off of a relationship of giving and receiving. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because anybody that's been married for a while and had a successful marriage, they understand that you come to a place in your relationship, you know, maybe when you're first married, you're wondering, well, I don't know, you know, this is a person, and I don't know if this is going to work, and you wonder, are we going to make it, or whatever. You might go through stuff like that, but at some point you come to the place where you realize that you're meant for each other, because the husband will get to the place where he freely gives out and gives of himself, and those things he freely gives out of himself is something his wife and family needs. And they receive it. And they turn around and do the same thing. They learn to freely give out to him and to one another the things that the others need. And when it gets to that place, it gets to the place where if it's correct and it's working like it's supposed to, nobody's going to have a grudge because they're having to give out. No man that's truly got the right, that's a real man, is going to get up and put his shoes on in the morning and slam the door and say, I have to go to work and make a living for these people while they sit around here today and do whatever. No man's going to do that.
No.
No real man that's got the real, he's going to get up, he's going to be happy, he's going to go to work, and he's going to be happy to come home with that paycheck and share it with his family.
That's right.
Right? Mom is not going to be getting out of bed, I can't believe I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and make him breakfast. It's just not right. She's not going to have that attitude. She's going to come to a place, he and her both, where there's a reciprocation, and they just draw from one another, and they're basically becomes natural in the way they live among one another, just compliments one another. Everybody understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Every relationship's that way. Did you know that God needed something from us?
Sure.
Did you know that we needed something from God? Right? I needed salvation. I needed somebody to come and save me. You know what? When Brother Branham said that the best thing that God could ever give a man was to be a good wife, the best thing that God could ever give Jesus Christ was a wonderful bride.
Yeah.
Right? And so we find out that when Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam had a, he was actually a mirroring or expressing on earth what the longing God had in heaven. And when the scriptures came down, and Adam had named all the animals and those sorts of things, and then it said that there was no helpmeet for Adam. And God said, this is not good. This is not good for man to dwell alone. So he made wife. And Eve came from him. Eve did not come from some other place. She came from him. So she was part of him. So there could be no rejection. Could be no rejection. Because a man can't, you can't reject yourself.
Right?
That's what the scripture said. No man hates his own body. He loves and cherishes it. And that's the way it is with his wife. He loves and cherishes her because if he hates and doesn't cherish her, he's destroying himself. He's basically hating himself.
Yeah.
And so every relationship is like that. And it works off of the giving and receiving. And so God gave. Did he not? God gave of himself to come in and die on the cross. He loved us first. He gave himself because that love propelled him to do what he did for us. And he loved us and gave himself for us, which became tremendous benefit for us. And because of that, we reciprocate back to him. We realize what he's done for us and we love him. And that answers his needs, right? Because he needed companionship. He needed spiritual companionship between us and him, which eventually will be just more real than what we are now. It won't just be some spiritual thing we experience, but we'll be there in reality with him. And so he loved us, gave himself for us, and now he receives of the fruits of his labor. Every relationship is this way. You've got to put into it, but don't ever demand for it back. Just put into it and it'll come back. Put into it and it will come back. But we live in an age where people are so selfish. Everybody wants to do things their way. Everybody wants to have it the way they want it. They want to say what they want to say. They want to live what they want to live. And they want everybody else to reciprocate back and accept it and blessings to come back from everybody else. Yet they don't put anything into it. You know what happened if I don't go to work and put into my job?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get anything back from my job.
That's right.
Right? And if I do that enough, it'll get so bad I won't even be able to reverse it. It'll get so bad that I wouldn't even be able to rise up someday and say, I'll go to Baltimore and I'll put into it greatly so I can receive back because they will have fired me and I won't even be allowed on the property. You see what I'm saying? So relationships require that you've got to do this, and you don't do it saying, I'm going to do this so I'll get this back. You've got to do it selflessly.
That's right.
You've got to do it in such a way where you don't even, if you don't even think that person's ever going to give back to you, you do it anyway. And leave it in the hands of God. And he'll send it back. And he lives by his own rules and his own faith and his own, his own understanding. And so he did it. He modeled it. He loved us. He gave to us when we didn't even have a desire for him. And the whole process comes back. And now we can say, I love him because he first loved me. How could you not love him when you see what he's done for you?
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. I know that one of the greatest problems of this age is easy living. People don't know what it's like to depend on God from day to day. They don't know what it's like. They don't know what it's like to be hungry and to be cold and not have enough to make it from week to week. I realize there are some people that have experienced that. But when you get, the scripture said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When we have sufficiency for the today, then we get relaxed.
Yeah.
And when we get relaxed, like the first church age, remember that? When we get relaxed, we drift away from God. But we've got to realize we are totally dependent upon him.
Yes.
Totally dependent upon
Amen.
Him. He loved us and gave himself for us in supplying all that we have needs. And all that really needs to make it work is for us to recognize that he is the supplier of all those things and give honor and glory back to him for all that he's done for us.
Yeah.
And if you realize that and have a revelation, you'll want to give back to him that praise, honor, and glory. My wife, it's kind of funny. I hope she doesn't get aggravated about this, but Last night, you know, she told, she, you know, the dishes were all cleaned up, and she comes in and she tells Ben and Anna, now listen, if you go get anything, get you something to snack on or whatever, you take those dishes and you rinse them off or whatever and wash them, or you put them in the dishwasher. She said, your dad's the only one who can leave his dishes in there. And you know, that may sound unfair. But those of you who are married and have relationships, you understand. See, I see the adults shaking their heads, see? Because a person who walks in the character of what they're supposed to, and this is really character of Christ that comes down into people. If a man gets up and goes to work each day, there's a character of Christ in that. I don't care who he is. If he'll provide for his family, there's something godly about that. And so when a man lives in that character of Christ, without even him having to demand it, he's automatically earning the rights for things. You understand? He earns the right to be able to come home and rest and all the things like that. And so, but it's all because of just getting in sync with this, what he's supposed to be, and working in this relationship he has with his family, with his wife, his children. It works that way. And it's just something God has mimicked himself, wherein he loved us and gave himself for us, and now he received back. And so the scriptures tell us we are to love him, love the Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Now, if the scripture would have said, you just got to love the Lord, you know, you'd say, well, okay, we love him. But the scripture made a point to show you that you've got to love him with all your heart, love him with all your soul, love him with all your mind. And in one place, with all your might. Okay? So the scripture is showing us that there are some portions of our life where we can love and honor God, and other portions where we not, might not. Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
So when the great commandment come forth, it was to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Right? With all your heart. So with all your mind. That means with your thinking, with your decision making, with the way you process stuff. You hear us talk about it, we've got to throw our thoughts to the side and bring the Word of God in and let that be our guide, right? So if the world says something and even our mind thinks and reasons that way, we cast away reasons and we worship the Lord with our mind, we love Him with our mind when we cause His Word to be resident in our thinking, and we cause that to be what we guide, are guided by. Everybody understand what I'm saying? But not just that, with your heart. Because there are people who can go out and say and do and act exactly the way the Word says to do it, but their heart's far from Him.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So in any relationship, you can't, it's got to be full thing if it's going to work right. It can't be just parts here and parts there and part, you know, but it's got to be the whole thing. He gave all, right? He didn't hold back anything. There wasn't any place where he held back. He gave it all. And that's what we're showing you here, is that the commandment is that we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. With all of everything that's in us, we love the Lord. Because when it's that way, it's genuine. It's not a fake something. And when it's that way, then that nature of Christ will be resident in us. And we'll live completely for others like He lived for others. And you say, well, you know, you might say, well, I don't like the idea of living for others all the time. You know, I know that the people, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, it don't sound like fun to me sitting around in somewhere worshiping some guy through eternity. That's what they said to me. It's amazing how stuff like that sticks with you, because I can tell you, we were on the interstate coming back this way, and we were just by the Mulberry exit. Because it just, you know, well, that was just his way of thinking it. Yeah. See? That was just his way of thinking it. But once you realize that to live for others is the greatest thing that you could do in your life is to, in Christ, live for others.
Yeah.
And not live to yourself.
Right.
A person who lives a selfish life becomes a very grumpy, very unfriendly person. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody's probably thinking somebody they know that's that way. But you take a person who lives for others and happily, and you can't, like the scripture said, God loves a cheerful giver. That don't mean just in the offering plate, see? He loves a cheerful giver. I have things I need to do around the house. I don't have a ton of time to do things around the house. And the other day, we were going to have this family reunion at my uncle's house. It was his idea. He wanted to do it. And so he needed some help around his place. I went up there and helped him. I had stuff that I wanted to do, but I went up there and helped him. And you know what? I felt a lot better than I would have if I just said, no, I ain't got time, but I got something else to do. You live for others. And listen, it will come back. If you live for the others, it will come back. And I've said it before. When I leave, when God takes me from this, from Baldor or from this earth and takes me home, I don't want that to be a happy day for people. And I haven't said it that way, but I want people to miss me.
Yeah.
And they're not going to miss me if I'm a grump. If I'm all the time, you understand what I'm saying? But the only way I can really be what people need around me is if I surrender to Christ. So Jesus surrendered to the Father, and look what it got him.
Sure.
It got him a bride. It got him the very thing he longed for. And so it's the same way with us. So we have to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and everything about us to love him. But Satan, why should we love him? Let me back up. Why should we love him? Because it's just like what I said a while ago. When a man will go out, then he earns it. When he goes, he does what he's supposed to. He earns a certain respect. He shouldn't have to ask for respect, but he earns it. And if anybody's got the right mind, his children, his wife, they look and see that, they're going to give that honor to him because he's earned it. Then why would we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all our mind? Because he earned it.
Amen.
Right? He deserves to sit on that throne. He deserves to sit on that throne. And you know what? He shares it with us. Tell me what he's got that he's not sharing with us. He's got healing. He's got joy, peace. He shares it with us. See what I'm saying? So he deserves our honor and our glory. He deserves it. But we live in an age where Satan has stripped it away from people and have caused people not to realize that he is the source, that Jesus Christ is the source of everything we need. That if I was able to take one breath today, it was because he gave it to me.
That's right.
If I was able to go to work and not spend my day in severe pain, it's because he gave that to me. You see what I'm saying? And so Satan has stripped that the concept away from people, and they no longer realize that Jesus Christ is the source of everything that we need.
Yeah.
And so if they don't see him as that source, they don't see him as that high and lifted up one who is sacrificed ultimately, if they're not in touch with that, they're certainly not going to honor and glorify him. They're not going to love him with all their heart, soul, and mind when they don't see him as what he is. Mm-hmm. And Satan's just blind people. So people, a lot of people, their God is a welfare check. Their God is Obama or what the government's going to do or something like that. And so that's as far from truth as you can be. And so when we realize what he is, when we can love him correctly, when we truly understand everything he did for us and how it all works, we can love him. And when we love him the way we should, our faith is going to soar. Because the scripture said, faith which worketh by love. Mm-hmm. Right? Brother Bram said, it's the most powerful force there is.
Amen.
Is love. Absolutely. To cause a man or a woman to rush into a house fire to save a baby.
That's right.
And it'll cause a God to come down from heaven, wrap himself in the robe of flesh, and suffer like nobody's ever suffered for a people that wasn't even interested in at the time. That's what love will do for him. You know what? There's days when I'm not so good. And it's those days like that that it's that kind of love that was expressed that pulls me out of the mud. And it does you the same way. Because if he hadn't done it, we wouldn't be pulled out of the mud, right? And so if we love him correctly, then faith will work well and be what it's supposed to be, and we will be able to obey his will. If we realize that he deserves the honor and glory, then whatever his will is, we're happy to give that to him. Right? I mean, look, if you're looking for a fair deal, you might as well forget it, because it's not fair. It's not fair. He paid all the price, and all he asked you to do is just surrender and love him, and he'll give you eternal life. And I heard Donnie Reagan say this sometime here not too long ago, you know. I forget how he said it, but it was something along the lines like this, that I served him for about 40 years, and in exchange for that, I get eternal life?
No.
It's not fair. We're not looking for fairness in relationships. We're looking to live Christ. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we look for, to live out Christ Jesus. And so when we truly understand him, our faith will soar. And when we have faith in God, we can live more for him. And we can say, yes, Lord, when he says no, we will say we accept that. And whatever it is, we can live according to his will so much better when we love him correctly. And if we really love him, we'll move everything else out of the way that's a hindrance.
That's right.
If you really love. If I sit down to a plate of food, and I had 5 or 6 different items on that plate, but I only had enough room in my stomach for one item, one course. And I really, really love beans. I'll put that other stuff to the side, and I'll eat the beans. If I really love the okra, then I'll put the beans to the side. You understand what I'm saying? So we can say whatever we want to, but our actions will show who it is we love. Now think about it. Our actions will show who it is we love, but what we do, by how we act, by how we think. Of course, nobody else can see your thoughts but God, but you do. And so, if we really love the Lord, when Satan comes along and tries to drop a thought into us, and we recognize that's not a right thought, if we love the Lord, we'll cast that to the side. Right? We will cast that to the side quickly. And so, you understand what I'm getting at there. We'll move everything out of the way. So the greatest form of this love is the expression you give toward him, right? If you really love him, you'll honor and cherish him in your life. And I'll be honest with you, saints, and I hope this doesn't disappoint you, but sometimes I have to tell the Lord when I've failed. Sometimes I say, Lord, evidently I don't love you as much as I need to. I'll be honest with you. That's what I say. Sometimes, Lord, evidently I don't love you as much as I should. Because I know how this works. And I know that if we are so in love with him, that's all we think about.
That's right.
Right? The way it was when I realized that was the first thing when I gave my heart to the Lord. I just thought about him all the time. See, we still think about him all the time. But you know, there was a first love there that we know we should never lose. But we do. Doesn't mean you're lost, but we, you know. But if we love him like we should, we'll think about him, and we'll constantly, like I said Sunday, we will seek after a spirit, an experience in us that will say amen to the word and always try to promote Jesus Christ. We'll always do that, see? Because he's the one that we're all about. And so the greatest manifestation of that love is how you will honor and serve him. But you can't walk over to him and honor and serve him. So how do you honor and serve him? You honor and serve him with everybody around you that you give him. You see what I'm saying? You honor and serve him by honoring and serving his body. Your fleshly brothers and sisters. You can honor God by honoring your brother and sister in the natural. You can honor God by honoring your spiritual brothers and sisters, your church body. You can honor God by keeping the speed limit. Sister, I was looking at Sister Rick at that time.
That was just a coincidence, sister. But you can honor God by keeping a speed limit and by turning your head and looking the right away from things that you shouldn't look at.
That's right.
You can honor God. You can honor Him in everything.
Yeah.
And listen, He sees that. When you have opportunity to fuss and fight with someone, and something tells you, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, you're not honoring your Lord.
Right.
If it's children, you're not honoring your mom and dad, because if they tell you not to do that, you're not honoring Him, see? But God can be honored when we do and we live according to what we know His kingdom of life is all about. And when He says, love people and with all that's in us, to live peaceably with all men. When He says that, we want to do that because we know it pleases Him. Because any wife that loves her husband and has a revelation of her husband, she wants to do things that pleases Him. Is that right? Does everybody understand that? I know the children that's not been married might not understand that completely, but I think they do. Right? I think they do. So the greatest manifestation of this love for Him is what is the way we treat Him, which is His body. It's how we treat each other. And when we have a revelation that says, you know what? I love people here. When I'm at church and we go to eat and we have fellowship Sunday and we just get along really wonderful. And I love them and everything's so great and wonderful. But yet, in your private life, you have hidden sin. You don't really love your brothers and sisters. You don't. Because hidden sin affects out here.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Now, I know that's a... I know that right there probably just... Whoosh, with the whole world, everybody in the message probably go, oh my. I understand. But isn't this where the rubber meets the road?
Yeah.
Isn't this where we're at today? Isn't this what it's all about? Did Jesus have this understanding? And did He do it right? He sure did. You see, and so He says, I didn't do anything except I see the Father show me. Right? And He prays and says, Father, I know You hear me. Because I always do the things that are pleasing to You. Think about that. How many of us would like to be able to say that? That when our child gets sick, or our brother or sister, something's wrong, or we get a phone call and somebody's in need, and somebody's waiting in the balance, wouldn't you love to be able to stand there and just, Father, I thank You that You hear this prayer request I'm giving You right now, because I always do the things that are pleasing inside. Now, I'm not talking about trying to get to heaven by good works. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's something to be said about being in right standing with your parent, with your Heavenly Father. There's something about it to know that your Heavenly Father is pleased with you and that there's no condemnation and you're not going to get a whipping when you come home tonight. Right? There's something about that. Why? Because it'll... What am I saying? Faith rises high. Why? Faith which worketh by love. Because why? You love them enough that you honor them and obey them so you don't walk in condemnation because you've been dishonorable. And when you don't have condemnation, you know He hears your prayer, right? He hears it anyway. But you have confidence because you've walked in a way that you know is pleasing. Just like Brother Branham, when he said to his wife, the tax man called on the phone and he ran out the door and said, tell him I'm not here. Well, he was there. But he ran out to try to make it right. And he went to pray for that child. And the Holy Spirit let him know right quick, you ain't going to get nothing done here. And Brother Branham said, and he was honest about it. He told the man, he said, listen, I'm not worthy to pray for your child, but you wait here. And Brother Branham went out and prayed. Now, I don't know if it took a night and a day. I don't figure out how long it was, but it wasn't just 5 minutes. I think it was an entire night and the next day that he was repenting, asking God to forgive him. There's one thing you and I have about this message that everybody else don't have and other ages didn't have. We see the transparency of a prophet who made mistakes.
That's right.
I can't help it with some people out in the world thought he was God. And now that they find out he had mistakes, they got to ditch everything he said. I can't help that. See, but we have the transparency of a prophet to see that, you know what? If a prophet, because we make those mistakes. And Satan wants to tell us, there's no way you're a child of God when you make those kind of mistakes. But when we see a prophet of God who was used of God mightily, and he had to deal with those same things, and we say, you know what? I understand there's a mercy. There's a God who's full of mercy.
that can help us in ways that maybe we didn't realize. And so God gives us that, those blessings. And so it all comes down to how we treat each other, how we treat, how we live. That's going to be the telltale sign. If you love something, I remember this years and years ago, but if you love something, you'll protect it. Right? If you love something, I don't care if it's a car, a house, or whatever it might be, if you love something, you'll protect it. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll protect that relationship. If you love your wife, you will protect that relationship. Think about it. If you love your husband, you'll protect that relationship. You will seek out ways to enhance that relationship to make it better. And the better it is, the more you draw naturally from him and the more he draws naturally from you. And that's the way it was with Jesus Christ. The more that our relationship reciprocates with him, the happier he is and the more we get. The more peace, the more joy, the more everything. We're still his wife,
yeah.
Right? But we'll just have a lot better time. And so, everybody understands thus far what I'm referring to. So, really, our trials in this life is a love test. Right? It's a love test. And every time you have a test, there's benefits and glory that comes after you pass the test. Everybody understand that? You get to graduate and go on to the next grade or whatever it is. You pass the driver's test, you get to drive or whatever it is. There's always something beneficiary that comes after you pass the test. What if you don't pass it? You got to go back and do it over. Doesn't mean you can't have it.
Right.
Means you got to go back and do it over.
That's right.
And then when you finally have it, then you get the benefits of the test. So it's a love test. How much do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? How much do we really love each other? Really? I can tell you that I'm very pleased, very happy with my church family.
Yeah.
I can tell you that honestly. I love this people. There's a lot of water been under the bridge. And when people stick together through thick and thin, it means something. It begins to add up something in the bank,
yeah,
that you can draw from. But it also, just keep in mind, the more money you store up in the bank, the more the robber wants to get in there and get it.
That's right.
Right? So we gotta watch that, see? And how does he get in? Well, he might just come in the door as you go in the door someday. He might follow you. So we all have to realize that, you know, if we have relationships in our life that we love, we cherish, whether it's with our brothers and sisters, with our family, or with our God, Satan wants to destroy that. And if he can tailgate you into your experience and get inside, he can rob your bank. Everybody follow me? In the church, in your own home, or even with your prayer life and your communion with your God. It may not be your neighbor that he tailgates and gets in with, see? Sometimes it's you. So we got to watch our back. We got to be careful. We got to be very wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And so it's a love test. And after we have the test, then after we have this test, we get to meet over there with him. We're going to meet over there someday. We are. We're going to meet you there. You're going to meet me there.
Amen.
It's going to be glorious. But there's a test. And it is a love test. This stuff that's come up nowadays that we know that we're facing in this world now, in this nation. You know, it had to be that way. Brother Branham told us, the Bible said that Brother Branham wrote it out in the entire ministry, made it clear. That United States was that beast that rose, that second beast that rose up out of the earth in Revelation 13, and it rose up and it was like a lamb, religious, because the lamb represents a sacrifice, had two horns like a lamb, it was civil and ecclesiastical power, because an animal has power, horns is his extra power that he has. That was the United States, but then it began to speak as a dragon. And a prophet said, that's the United States. Let me ask you a question. Were we born like a lamb, religious freedom? Did we have the civil ecclesiastical powers that held this country for a long time? What does it sound like when you hear it speak now? Maybe they're listening to this. Maybe they'll catch something. What does it sound like now when you hear it speak? See, so we knew it was coming, right?
So we're facing things like that, and in hours like this is where it's really going to come down to it. That love test. How much do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? And He is His Word, and He is His body.
Yeah.
Amen? Brother Bram said, when that time comes, and they're all that the squeeze comes in, and we're basically smitten like that, he said, they'll run together then. Right? They'll run together then and be in the unity that they should have had all along. And so, we know that's certainly truth. And so, we get to meet him over there and meet one another over there after we pass this love test. Now, this is what gets us there. The love of God. Faith which worketh with love. The whole Christian experience is built on what? That's what gets us there. That's the thing that can move us to touch others. If it's working right in our lives, it's an emotion, it's a life that will reach out and it will actually grab others. And they won't be able to resist that nature. Because the world's dying for love. Not compromise. But the world's dying for love. You just remember, if somebody's being mad, being evil, you can look at them and say, you know what? It's not that person. It's the devil. But while you look at that person and you say, that's the devil in him, remember, there's a person there that's not the devil.
Yeah.
And that person has something in them that can respond in love. Right? The devil might not. But that person can. I believe anybody that's got an evil thing upon them, that if true love is manifested to them, it'll reach them somehow because it gets in there anyway beyond the effect of the devil. And you know what? If that person somehow, because the devil can't hold you against your will, if the right thing takes place inside you and you have a choice for Christ, he can't stay. You know what I'm saying? So even though a person might be bound, there's still a way that you can get in there and touch them with the gospel and with true love manifested. Something will happen inside there and that devil will have to go. He will lose his power on that person. And a lot of times, and maybe it's this way in every case, but that devil will hold that person because he has vices there. He'll hold them, but a lot of times that vice he's holding there is something that's trickery. And he's got him, I don't know how to explain it, but he will hold him in something like that maybe they don't understand or whatever. Let me just try and say it this way. Let's say, for instance, an alcoholic. That the person can remain an alcoholic because there is a portion of that alcoholic experience that person likes. Right? And if something ever touches their heart where they turn off that like, that devil can't stay there no more. He can try, and he can try to come back and influence, but you understand, there's some way that some just choice in a person's heart, when that changes, that devil can't stay there. He has to go. And that's so Brother Bram said love can do that. Did you know that? Love can drive out those devils. So can preaching of the word.
Amen.
And so that's what gets us there. That's what works, and that's what's going to work in this hour. It's not going to be our Facebook post. That's not going to change it. And it's not going to be our discussion with people, and it's not going to be how much we say, I don't agree with this. You understand what I'm saying? That's not changing what's happening in this world.
Right.
That's not going to get us out of here. But God has something that will get us out of here. And it's in the realm of love. It's in the realm of this third pool, faith which worketh with love. We can say a lot of things like that. And so it works in that. That's what's going to get us out of here and not anything else. Nothing in this world can get us out of here. Nothing in this world can solve these issues other than what I'm talking about. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So, entering into this love domain is what we need. Entering into that gift that comes from Him, entering into that allows us to sit in heaven right now. Right now. We can have His salvation now. We can have His healing now. We can have His joy
now, right?
Yeah.
But you've got to enter into. And this is the kingdom of heaven I'm talking about. This is what it's all about. This is what that dimension is. Brother Branham said, nothing can enter there but divine love. Perfect love. Right? That's the only thing that can enter there. Well, listen, you know, we've said it many times. Death doesn't change. It just changes our dwelling place. So we have to enter into an experience here that matches that. Right?
Yeah.
We enter into something here that matches that. So we've got to come to this. This thing's got to come together and click for us where spiritually we enter into this mode I'm talking about. And I believe that when that happens, there will be a testimony around us just like it was around Brother Branham. But they say when he was around him, you know, there was a presence. There was something different.
Yeah.
I've heard testimonies where when he would go visit someone and visit with him for a little while and leave, there was a presence that was there with him, and that presence would stay there in that house with that family for 2 or 3 days after Brother Branham had gone. And they sensed it. When Enoch is supposed to have a testimony that before he leaves that he pleases God. And that's the same thing for us. We are to have a testimony. This world, when we leave, there's going to be people left behind that can say, you know what? Then people walk with God. Then people please God. I could see his nature around him. I could see him among them. I could feel his presence. I could see things he did. And so it comes back to this. So nothing in this world is going to get us out of here and solve this, but only entering into this thing that I'm talking about. And it will give us the world that's to come. It will give us benefits right now of those things. And that's the difference between the bride of Christ and the rest of the world. Because she's got access to that divine nature and that divine presence.
Right?
She has access to that. That's what the stature of a perfect man is all about. To have that divine nature resident among her. And it comes by entering into the fellowship and entering into this love domain, or if you want to call it, of Christ. And so nothing in this world will do it. Now I'm going to say something here. Some people may know what I'm referring to, and I don't mean anything bad, but I'm trying to get a point across here. I know a man that's older now, and he's not in good health. And I don't know everything he did in all of his life, but he loved to hunt, and he did a lot of it. He loved to camp, he did a lot of it. He loved to fish, he did a lot of it. He loved to bowl, he did a lot of it. He loved to drink, he did a lot of it. He loved to smoke, did a lot of it. He watched TV, he liked that, he would go to movies, he did a lot of it. And now, he's in bad health, and he's afraid to die. And all those things he did, where are they now? Think about it. All those things he did, he had a life full of all the things he loved to do. But where is it now? I pray the Lord help him and give him that chance. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get a point across here. I don't care what billboard sign Satan wants to paint you. If it's not this that I'm talking about right here, it's leading you to a dead end.
Amen.
You can have all these other things and embellish in all these things that you like to do and you like to do and you like to do, but if it's not back to Christ Jesus, and this life that comes into us and makes us love and live for one another and honor Him in everyday life, if that's not what it is, it's a dead-end street. And you'll come to some point where you stand back and you'll be fearful. Because all of that can't give it to you. Right? All of that can't give it to you. He had enough of those things that if they did it, He ought to be raptured right now. See what I'm saying? My heart goes out to the man because I'm good friends with him. So all those things he did has left him undone. See?
Yeah.
So why not? Why not we forsake all those things? All those things that Satan is trying to tell you that makes a difference, and you're going to have fun if you can go do this and you can go do that, and you know it's not the Bible. You know that it's not Christ. Forsake all those things and come to Him. Because He'll never leave you standing there empty. He'll never leave you standing there empty. I'm going to go real quick through some scriptures here that all talks about love in some form or fashion, okay? And I'm going to tell you where they are, and I won't quote them perfect, but because I didn't have time to actually write them all down. But I'll make comments of each one, and then we'll be done, okay? Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill. Right? If you remember the scripture, you read it. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We just read it a while ago. This is the great commandment. And on these two hangs the whole law. But love is the fulfilling of law. That's Romans 13, 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 6, talks about love that's unfeigned. And the word unfeigned, feigned means pretended. A love that's not a pretended love. Because if it's a pretense, it won't help you. The love of your bowling buddies and the love of your drinking buddies and your fishing buddies, they can't help you when you come right down there to the end of it. It can't help. That's an unfeigned. That's a feigned love, and He wants you to have an unfeigned love. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, he talks about the fact that we have a liberty, but don't use the liberty for an occasion to the flesh. God's given us freedoms, but don't use those freedoms and liberties for an occasion to the flesh to live by the flesh, but by love, serving one another.
Yeah.
Right? By love, serving one another. Ephesians 4:2, forbearing one another in love. You know what forbearing means? When your brother or sister is not exactly doing what needs to be and they're not up to par, you forbear with them. You work with them. Be graceful to them and allow them time to come forward, right? You forbear with their shortcomings. You forbear with them. Forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love. Right? What is it that's corrective? Love. It'll make you speak the truth. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. Think about it. Your breastplate is what guards your heart and guards your torso, right?
Yeah.
Your breastplate. So if the enemy wants to strike you in your heart, he can't strike you in your heart if you have the breastplate of faith and love. Right? He can't get to you as long as you have that. And there's helmet of salvation, there's other portions, but you understand the breastplate of love. I often wonder, it's like, well, when Paul was sitting here thinking about this and he wants to describe the armor, how did he come to say, well, the helmet of salvation? Why didn't he say the breastplate of salvation?
Yeah.
But he said the helmet of salvation. That's a study in itself that you can do.
Yeah.
See, that armor of God, and he ascribes to those different armors the different characteristics of a godly man and what his walk with God is all about. Hebrews 10:24, provoking unto love and to good works. Provoking one another to love and to do good works. We need to live in such a way that it causes others to want to love and others to want to do right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we really love them, we will do that. And that's what effect it will have on them, provoking one another to love and to good works. James 2:10, the royal law is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, again, it speaks of unfeigned love. 1 John 2:5, the love of God is perfected in our hearts. Amen? It's not that the love of God is not perfect. It is perfect. But it's perfected in our hearts. Right? there's an experience that we can have that can take that love of God and make it so real and perfect in our life that it can accomplish great matters. Right?
Yeah.
Love is perfected in our heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. To love, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Right? It all goes together. In deed and in truth. To love. The scripture says that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. If we allow iniquity to work in our lives, it will take away love. It will work against it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says you cannot love God and mammon or man. Okay? It may sound contradictory when I say to love people. But what he's talking about, you can't love God with all your heart and also love the ways of man, the fallen, sinful ways of man. You can't. Because he said you'll love one and hate the other, or vice versa. So we cannot straddle the fence. It's one way or the other. We can give ourselves totally to God and come to the end of our road with peace and joy in our lives, or we can live for the ways of man and come up scared at the end. That's the way it works. And so Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 40, what we read, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I'm pretty sure that my wife wants to know that I love her that way. You know, not to give to her the love that belongs to God, but I think she would like to know. She would like to know that I love her with everything that's in me. And she needs to hear that. She needs to know that. In other words, your spouse needs to tell you that. Right? Your spouse needs to tell you that. Your spouse just told you that. That he loves you that way. Now you need to love him back the same way. Amen. Not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Not just with your lips and your heart be far from him, but in everything that's in you, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with your soul, with all your mind. Amen. I trust that this has not been boring to you tonight. I know it plows. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. I don't want to stand there on someday and have to look at the Lord and stand there with him looking at me with angry eyes and say, you told my children, you told my bride something, a lie, that you knew was wrong. I don't want to do that. And I can honestly say that I've always told them, to the best of my understanding and revelation, I've always told the best that I knew.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that. When ministering to God's people, I've always done that. And I don't even know if I can think of, I don't know, it'd be hard-pressed to think of a time where I felt like I needed to say something and held back on it because I didn't know how it was going to work. You know, I was fearful of what it might say, what it might do. You know what I'm saying? So I want to, and Brother Daniel will tell you the same thing. We want to walk in a pure heart before God as ministers. We may not be the most dynamic people in the world in ministry, but to me, what's more important is truth.
Yeah.
Show the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's what we want to do. Amen. So God bless you. We'll just bow our hearts just for a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the end of this service tonight, there's been so many things said, Lord, and I'm not anything myself. But Lord, I try to speak what you give me through a little gift, Lord, that you put down in my heart, in my life. I try to always just turn to that and seek you, Lord, to operate it as we come before your people. So I'm nothing, Lord. If there's any virtue in anything that's been said or done tonight, it goes to you. But Lord, I want to do a good job, Lord, at telling your people the truth that comes across my desk and the revelation that you give me. And Lord, I want it to come across in a way that they can understand, that it will come down into their hearts. Lord, that it actually be something, as Brother Daniel says, it would fall into rich, fertile ground. Lord, that's exactly the way we feel about it.
And Lord, so there's many things we say that might sound harsh. I seek, Lord, before you and try to come to ways to say it that's not harsh, Lord. But sometimes I know things come out harsh. But Lord, you know my heart. You know that I desire for your people to grow in the stature of faith and right standing with you, Lord, to come into that stature of a perfect man. I'm not able to lead him in that way, Lord. I'm just able to share the gospel, and your Holy Spirit is the one that does it through your word and your tutoring and your leadership. But I pray, God, that you would help your people, Lord, as they take these things that they've heard tonight. I pray that it has identified things in their own walk that, Lord, they see that it has been successful in their walk and that they see ways to improve upon it, and that you would just help them each one, Lord. I pray that in the natural realm, if there's relationships, Lord, that aren't working properly, I pray, God, that you will move in those with your Holy Spirit and bring those relationships to fruit, Lord. God, because you are the author of life and you are the giver of every good gift. You're the one who gives peace and joy is shed abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that you would touch each family, each relationship, whether it's father and children, or mother and children, or husband and wife, whatever it is. Lord, just pull them up to you, into your bosom, and brood over that relationship, so, Lord, that it would become what it needs to be. And Lord, so that the nature of Christ Jesus would be emitting from that relationship, that everyone would see it and be able to draw from it. We pray, God, as we go from this place tonight, that you would be with us, protect us, and keep us. And Lord, we want to pray now and ask that you would be with us in service this weekend. Prepare our hearts for what you bring. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand. I hope you heard something tonight that will bless your heart, that you can go home and chew on.
Empty.